Good morning. Welcome to Desborough Baptist Church. My name, as you just heard, is Simon. If you don't know me, I'm a member of the congregation. And it's lovely to see you. Good morning on Zoom as well. Are you pleased to be here?
Yes.
Fantastic. So, our reading this morning is from James, but we're going to start with something out of Psalms. So, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Let us pray. Lord God, as we join here together this morning, we ask that you would be here. Lord, we come from many, many different backgrounds, and we've had different weeks, some good, some bad. But Lord, we all have one common goal this morning. We want to draw closer to you, to hear your word, to hear it speak to us directly. Directly, Lord, into our situations. We want to give you thanks today, Lord. To thank you for what you've done for us in our lives. And for what you will do in the future. You are our God. The only God. And we give you the glory this morning, Lord. I pray that you will be moving amongst us today. Refreshing us. Lord, as we consider your word, in Jesus' name, amen. We have no Brian this morning, but we have a fantastic music group who are going to play throughout. Our first song is Blessed Be Your Name. Could be a telescope. It's not. Today, this represents God. So there he is. And I've got some books. Three lovely books. Nice big books. So, these represent the difficulties that Jesus faced. So if I get this right, there we go. Rejection. He was beaten. It's going. I'm not very good at this. I'm sorry. Got to get it central. I can do it. There we go. So, rejected, beaten, crucified. But still, he persevered. He didn't crumble. Now, let's imagine that this piece of paper is us. I'm going to make a tube. It's not Blue Peter. There's not one made earlier. There we go. So this is now us. And again, the troubles that we face. Okay. One. So, maybe we can stand up to one of the problems, but we can't stand up to all of them. Unless, let's take the piece of paper again. We wrap ourselves around Christ. We persevere. And with Christ in our lives, here we go again. With Christ in our lives, we can take on those challenges, even the big challenges, and we can persevere all the way through. I'm not sure it deserved a round of applause. So on our own, we can't do very well. We need Christ in our lives to persevere. We can't take everything because the pressure is too much and we're going to fold. Okay, so that was our little example. Our next song is I Raise a Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. Death is defeated, the king is
Children are going to leave us now for Sunday social, but before they go, let's commend them to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the young people of the church, for the vibrance and fun that they bring, for the fun they bring to our lives. And we just ask, Lord, that that fun will carry on now in Sunday social, that Sunday, your day, will be a special day for them too, as it is for us. We pray for their leaders, Lord, and we pray that they will bring your love and your message to the young people this morning. Amen. So, prayers of intercession now. Once again, I get to rely on my wife, who's going to come and share prayers of intercession, and is then going to move on to our reading this morning.
Our God. Father God, we bring our prayers to you this morning for our world. A world in turmoil, Lord, with wars and conflicts, specifically those in Gaza and the Ukraine. We pray for peace and a resolution to the fighting. We pray for the families who have been devastated by this conflict, the loss of life and freedom. Lord, we pray for an end to the fighting. Lord, we pray that your name will be known around the world. We pray for our new government, and specifically Sir Keir Starmer in his position as Prime Minister. Lord, we pray that your voice will be heard in the national and local government arenas. We pray for our country and its leadership today, Lord. The last few weeks have seen much unrest and rioting, Lord. We pray for your wisdom and calming in these situations. We see too an increase in knife crime, Lord, and we just want to bring this to you now. It's often difficult for us to understand, and so we bring this to the foot of the cross. With so many problems across the country, we need you, Lord. We pray for a time of stability in the country. Every day we turn on the news to some catastrophe or conflict, an argument or disagreement. Lord, we pray for your peace. Lord, we pray for our young people as they return to school, college and university in the coming weeks. We pray they will settle quickly and continue their learning journey. We pray for the teachers and leaders in the schools, Lord. Give them wisdom and help them as they teach and train the next generation. We also pray for those young people beginning jobs or apprenticeships. And we pray for safety for those leaving Desborough to study in universities and colleges across the country and even across the world. Lord, we ask you to wrap your loving arms around them so they may know your love and comfort. We think too of our town, Lord, of Desborough and all the people who call it home. Lord, we are called to be a witness to these people in the way we live and conduct ourselves. We pray today that we will see the need and act. Help us to serve our community this week, Lord. We pray that we will listen to your calling on our lives and how we can affect our local community. Teach us to see the need, Lord, to help people of all ages find and follow you. Lord, we offer our prayers for those in our community who are unwell or struggling with life. We pray that they will know your presence today and be upheld by our prayers. Lord, in the quiet now, we bring them by name before you. Lord, be with us now as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We turn to our reading this morning, which is from James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves righteous and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Okay, so before we pick that one apart, got another song. Before the throne of God above. Stand if you're able, please. The sinner. Okay, so we're going to be looking at James today, chapter 1. Quite a lot in that chapter to take in, so hopefully we'll be able to pick some of that apart for you. So some background first. James belongs to a group of books labelled general. Not particularly helpful, I know. But that actually means that it doesn't address a church. So Philippians addresses Philippi, Corinthians, Corinth. James is not addressed to a church, and it's not addressed to a congregation or addressing a specific group of people. So, who was James? There is still much debate about which of the four prominent Jameses was the author. But most people believe it was the brother of Jesus. James, the brother of Jesus, was at the time the leader of the Council of Jerusalem. He was one of several of Jesus' brothers, probably the eldest, as he is the head of the list in Matthew 13:55. Initially, James didn't believe in Jesus. In fact, he even challenged him. Later, he became a prominent figure in the church. He was one of the selected individuals Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. Paul called him a pillar of the church. In fact, he was so well known that Jude identified himself as the brother of James. About James and his style. James spends little time talking about Christ's deity, baptism, and nature of the church. This is a letter about putting faith into action. It speaks to what Christian living looks like in practice. It's about owning our faith and making it part of who we are, not just a name that we wear. James addresses the audience 14 times as brothers and sisters. He has many rebukes for them, and ultimately us, but always in love. To help look at James chapter 1, I've broken it down into 7 key areas. Letting trials accomplish their purpose. Wisdom, prayer, and faith. Sorry, I've just realised that I can't be seen, or my mouth can't be seen, which most people think is good, but not so good for Judith. So, poverty and wealth. The rewards of persevering in trials. Trials and temptations. Speech and anger. And finally, do what you say. So genuine faith is characterized by a consistent lifestyle. Miraculous, new and improved, the greatest ever. We're bombarded every day by magazines and TV adverts. They assure us that they are new and improved. Fantastic. And the solution to all of our problems. They assure us of new, improved, whiter teeth, which is a little bit scary. Cleaner clothes. Glamorous hair. And our food will be the best we've tasted ever. All of these things are guaranteed to bring us happiness. The best friends and the good life that we all long for. All too soon, these things disappoint, and we find the claims to be hollow. Christians can also make big claims, but often don't back them up with their actions. James confronts this head on. It's not enough to just talk the Christian faith. We must live it. Genuine faith will invariably produce good deeds. This is the central theme around the book of James, offering practical advice on Christian living. So, let's get rid of that horrible teeth picture. Let's get into chapter 1 then. Letting trials accomplish their purpose. As a first century Christian, James would have been very familiar with persecution. So why does God allow suffering? This is indeed one of the most perplexing and difficult questions for a Christian to answer or be asked. James gives no complete answer, but in verses 3 and 4, he does point us to the fact that the testing of our faith produces perseverance and determination. This is then evident in our faith and lives as Christians. Like many people here today, I often find it difficult to see the joy in persecution. Certainly at the time, it can be very upsetting. James isn't saying this is going to be easy. It's only after the event that we look back and can sometimes see how God has used this event in our lives. It takes time for us to see this. But this is what builds character. This is what helps us grow in our faith and learn to trust him. Wisdom, prayer, and faith. After encouraging his readers to endure the trials for their ability to help us grow in our faith, James points to a God who's keen to grant us wisdom when we ask for it. Wisdom plays a central role in this book and also in the book of Psalms, and it's possible where this is where James takes most of his points. God doesn't remind us endlessly of the past and our faults or mistakes, or remind us of the value of the gifts he's given us. All of our past mistakes that we have confessed have been forgotten and forgiven and sent to the bottom of the ocean. The problem is, we often go fishing for them. So God's put up a big sign, no fishing, it's finished. These verses, like the teachings of Jesus, encourage us to come boldly with our requests to God, who longs to give us what we ask for. But, and there is a but, there is a warning. We must not doubt God and what he can do for us. Like a wave of the sea, ever changing and moving, restless and tossed around. Poverty and wealth, verses 9 to 11. James offers a new dignity to the poor through Christ. This dignity is most apparent in that the world offers much and delivers little. Christ offers the crown of life. So, does this mean I can't have money? No, not at all. It's a warning about thinking too highly of yourself and your position. It's not to be used to pull others down or to inflate yourself. We are all considered equal. The reward for persevering in trials. Verse 12. The Greek word here is the same as tempted. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. It often feels like we're going through trials or suffering and struggling with people or situations in life. But here we are assured that we will receive the crown of life promised by God. This is not a physical crown. A more likely explanation is this is the crown of life. In the same sense that other crowns are of gold, in this case, the reward for perseverance is improved circumstances. That is, the reward James speaks of may be more abundant life here and now, or on the other side of eternity, in heaven. Or it may be both. James directs us to God's unwavering wish to give wisdom to all who ask for it. There's no judgment on the past wrongs or reminder of the previous gifts that maybe we haven't used properly or completely. In these verses, we are encouraged to come boldly with our request for wisdom. Jesus warned his followers that they would face troubles in John 16, 33. In Acts 14, 22, Paul likewise tells us that we will go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. Trials and temptations. We can't avoid trials, but we can make decisions to respond to them with the confidence that God promises us and the determination to glorify God in the midst of these trials. I'll say that again. We can't avoid trials, but we can make a decision to respond to them with confidence. Confidence in God's promise and a determination to glorify God in the midst of these trials. Sorry. James here reminds us of the perfecting of Christian character in our trials. When gold is purified through the fire burns up all that is not gold. In the same way, with the trials we go through, they are perfecting us, cleansing us, and getting us ready for the life to come. So what do these trials look like? They can range from social isolation and mockery to serious illness and even death. Each of us will have a very specific set of trials that we are facing now and that we will face in the future. Whilst James is not specific in what we will face, he does offer us hope in how we can get through them. By seeking God's wisdom, and that perseverance will help us grow in our faith. We're called in verse 4 to let perseverance finish its work. Speech and anger. I wonder how many of you, like me, were transported back to your school days when you heard this bit. No? No, maybe just me then. Simon needs to think more and speak less. He has two ears and one mouth and needs to remember that in this measure. Or Simon must try harder. James says the same thing. we need to stop ourselves from answering too quickly. Take time to think before we open our mouths and before we become angry. All too often, I find myself getting upset by the smallest things. And before I know it, I've become angry or outraged at a certain situation or person. And I can see my wife smiling now. Not you. Here, James confirms that this is not the way of a Christian. Man's anger does not bring about righteous life. We must stop ourselves and slow down for a moment. Note that verse 19 is addressed to everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen. A challenge for us all. Do what you say. James wants us not only to hear the truth, but to put it into action. This shows us the contrast between empty words and faith that works. A commitment to love and serve others is evidence of faith. Now, there is much debate about pure faith, with the Apostle Paul stating faith over actions, and James advocating faith through actions. Both are correct and need to be taken in context with their audience and with the current time of writing. What James is trying to say is we need to be people of action. Not just listening, but doing. And doing something with the knowledge that we have. We should be sharing what we know to be true with everybody who will listen. When we talk too much and listen too little, we are showing others that we think their ideas are less important than ours. We need to reverse this. Try putting a mental stopwatch on how much you talk and how much you listen. Now, of course, that will be interesting at the end of the service when we have coffee, because nobody's going to talk. Please talk to each other. Verse 26 says, those who consider themselves religious but do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves. It's very easy to find yourself in a conversation that maybe is not beneficial or edifying to God. To have a little gossip or to say something maybe a little unkind. It's at this point that we need to talk less. So in closing on James chapter 1, there will be times when we feel alone and even when our best attempts to draw near to God fail. Many faithful believers have experienced this spiritual depression, and yet God continues to be with each of us, moving our lives forward every day. We do not have to fear the future or the decisions and their consequences. Instead, we can rely on God, a God of abundant grace, who dwells in us by his Spirit to guide and offer us grace. Just like the kitchen roll. If we wrap our lives around Christ, we can be assured that he will be with us. Finally, go in confidence that your story is just beginning. You have wisdom, tools, and strength to face what is ahead because God is with you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the book of James, for the instruction, for the teaching, Lord. There is so much that we still need to learn. So much of the trials, the wisdom that is available to us, and so often we fail to take. Help us, Lord, to reach out to you, but in doing so, to trust you, to trust your answers, and not be a wave on the sea. Lord, help us to guard our tongues, to watch what we say, to be mindful of you, Lord, and your promises to us. You promise us the crown of life, Lord, and we as Christians want to claim that. We want to be people of action, to help others find and follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this time that we've had together, and I pray that it has spoken to many people. I pray that, Lord, you have spoken to people, not me. These are your words, and I pray that your words will rest in people's hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say the prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn. Sorry, guys. Time to get up again. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
This corner stone, this solid ground, the
guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. Father God, thank you for this time together. Help us now to sit and talk and share our faith, our beliefs, and just share time together, Lord. In Christ's name, we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Please stay for tea, for coffee, and importantly, conversation. Thank you.